Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast.
Dr. Marisa Gigi is an associate professor and vice chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the College of Community Health Services and directs the college's Behavioral Health in Primary Care Fellowship. She is a child, adolescent, general, and forensic psychiatrist who cares for patients in her psychiatric clinic at the University Medical Center, which the college operates. Welcome, Dr. Gigi.
Thank you.
Talk to me a little bit about how did the pandemic impact mental health?
Well, it impacted the mental health services that we provide in multiple ways. We've gone more towards telemedicine across the board, and we have also seen an increase in referrals for all of our services. I've said if there was a crack, it became a fissure after COVID. So there were always demand for our services, but the amount of calls and referrals that we've received since the pandemic have increased exponentially. Specifically for depression, anxiety, and substance use disorder referrals.
And you kind of touched on it, but what psychiatric illnesses came from the pandemic? What did you see an increase in?
We saw an increase in suicidal thinking. We saw an increase in actual suicide attempts. We saw increases in anxiety. Many people were very anxious and distressed over the pandemic, and if they already had an anxiety disorder, it became worse. We saw an increase in depressive disorders being asked to be assessed. We also saw an increase in addiction issues, specifically our overdose attempts increased, and so we saw more referrals for people asking for help regarding addiction treatment. So those were the most common increases that we saw.
And we spoke a little bit about adults and mental health. How did the pandemic impact our children, our adolescents, and our youth?
Well, it impacted the children in multiple ways. So they lost about a year of school, so it placed a lot of kids behind socially and academically, and it was very stressful for them because with kids, their peers are really their most important source of support outside of their family. So they lost touch with a lot of their friends, and it was a lot of online communication. The other thing that we've seen is an increase in the number of adolescent referrals, specifically for self-harm and suicide. I mean, it's fair to say right now we're in an adolescent mental health crisis. The number of referrals for emergencies, psychiatric emergencies for adolescents, increased by about 50% within the first 3 months of the pandemic. It's not unusual to see in the emergency room at children's hospitals across the country, adolescents waiting for beds for days, even weeks, for psychiatric services. Sometimes they're placed in the surgical suite or in the general peds suite because there's no space for them. So we really have such a crisis right now in terms of the amount of kids that are suffering and then not enough services really to take care of them properly.
And how do you feel like this wave of increased illness could have been prevented, or is there a way to prevent it?
Well, mental health, unfortunately, has always sort of been in need of resources, and it wasn't adequately funded and taken care of before the pandemic. And then since the pandemic, we've seen an increase in demand. So we were already stressed as a system to begin with. We're in Alabama, we're a mental health professional shortage area in every single county in the state. What that means is that we don't have enough mental health professionals per capita, so we're considered underserved. And that was before the pandemic. So that does not just mean psychiatrists, that also means therapists of all sorts. The other effect that this has had, it's a downstream effect, is that most of these kids and a lot of adults are going to their primary care doctor for treatment. And many of those physicians feel overwhelmed and stressed and unable to manage those disorders. So we've seen an increase in referrals for consultation from pediatricians, family physicians, internists, asking us for our advice and help, consultation on how to manage some of these mental health problems that they're managing now because there isn't enough space to get them in to see us. So it's sort of had that effect as well.
And talk about some of the lessons learned coming out of the pandemic. What were some of the things we've learned that we maybe can do better?
Well, I think one of the positives to come out of the pandemic is that we can use telehealth effectively, especially for rural communities and for people who have access to the technology. So it has improved access to some folks who live in distant remote areas that would not have been able to access it before. So that is a positive to come out of the pandemic. It's not all negative. So that's been a real nice change that we've been advocating for many, many years. We've been doing telehealth with rural communities for many years because there is a lack of access to mental health professionals in our rural parts of the state. But now that it's more available, that's a positive. But I think we've also learned that communication and like physical communication, on the other hand, and kids specifically need to be with their friends. And so how important socialization is, and that the fact is that when you isolate people for extended periods of time, it is not good for their mental health. So I think that's a lesson learned. And I think people are starting to take note of that, the importance of social connections in overall mental health. And also, I think another big lesson that we've learned is that we need to improve training for our primary care physicians, both those already in practice and people who are training, to have more facility in managing mental health problems because there are not enough psychiatric and other mental health professionals. And then also, fourthly, I think the fact that mental health is a medical concern and that it needs to become a higher priority for our state officials, our federal officials. And so hopefully the attention that we're getting on this is going to motivate our lawmakers and our policymakers to make it a higher priority. So I think those are the lessons that we've learned.
And why is our mental health so important?
Well, our mental health is integral to it's physical health. If our mental health is not stable, it doesn't matter what else is going on in your life. You're not going to be able to function well. So it's integral to every single function in our body. It's integral to how we view ourselves, how we see our identity. And it also means, like, for example, if you have diabetes and you're depressed and you don't feel good about yourself, many of those folks may not take their medication. So we know that people who have mental illness and mental health problems, if those aren't taken care of, their other medical problems will not get attended to as well either. So it's integral to overall health and well-being, and we know that mental health issues and illnesses are some of the highest causes of morbidity in our country and in the world. So untreated depression, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders, addictions, those are the types of things that cause people not to go to work, not to be functioning in our society. So it really hurts our whole overall society if people's mental health are not stable.
And there was a study came out, I'm not for sure if you've seen it. It's like we're number 3 in the nation when it comes to like mental health. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Why do you think it's such an issue or something that's not really being funded here in Alabama? Why is mental health such a problem here in Alabama?
Well, I think it's a problem across the country, but this has been the story for a very long time. There's a lot of stigma against mental health and people who are mentally ill. It's a lot of misunderstanding, I think lack of education. It's often been viewed as a character defect or something that can be managed just through, you know, strength of perseverance or prayer or family or support. And sometimes that can help, but many, many times, and more often than not, there's a medical underlying condition, clinical depression or bipolar or general anxiety, et cetera, multiple things that need to be treated and addressed in order for people to be able to function. It's not a character defect. These are medical illnesses. So I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding and stigma against treating them in the same way that we treat other medical problems. It's also harder for people to wrap their brains around it because it's something that you can't measure. If someone has, I use diabetes as an example because it's an easy contrast, you can check someone's blood sugar, right? You can get a blood test, you can check what their blood sugar is, and you can see how well it's being monitored and managed. But with someone who's depressed, it's more behavioral. Same thing with bipolar. We know with addiction, there are also downstream effects where people end up getting in trouble often with the law and break family relationships because of their addiction. So there are other types of psychosocial downstream effects that are viewed negatively. So that also adds to the stigma. So it's stigma, lack of understanding that these are medical problems that can be treated if assessed and addressed and identified early. That's the tragedy of suicide. It's preventable. It's absolutely preventable. And you know, if we take a more public health approach where we look at primary prevention at the very early stages in schools with families, and then we have enough resources, we can prevent a lot of these tragic outcomes that occur if we don't take care of things, just like any other medical illness, right?
And I know you mentioned the stigma. How do we take the stigma out of it?
I think a lot of it is education, exposure. I think this new generation, young people, are much less apt to stigmatize mental health problems. You see more mental health issues addressed in the media, in entertainment, and more celebrities and people who have positions of power, influence, coming out and discussing their mental health problems, which I think is a really good thing because it takes it out of this sort of realm of something that's just, you know, kind of unknown to something that it's okay. You know, that if you have a problem with depression, if you've thought about suicide, which is more common than people think, that there is a way for you to get help and that there isn't something strange or weird about you, that this is something that can be addressed if you talk to a mental health professional and get some support. So I think just all of those things are real positive. I think the younger generation are much more apt to be less stigmatizing. So I think over time, this will hopefully improve. But you know, people that I grew up with and older, you know, that there still is a very strong stigma, even within the medical profession, about people who have mental illness.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Gigi, for joining us today for our Health Matters Report.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.